gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined by Grapple Arcade's Mark Fox. How are you doing, Stephen Mark?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Everything good with the Grapple Arcade?
Yeah, man. Just preparing for our official WrestleMania pay-per-view party at Aspers Casino coming up next week and weekend. Whenever WrestleMania is.
Bye. The 7th.
Absolutely. Yeah, 7th. So preparation. That's an one on the cards. All good. We just do it. I think the last one we did after we spoke to you was the North Wrestling after party.
Yeah.
So we went along and did their after party as per usual. But yeah, all good, man.
Oh, great.
Why have I been invited to none of these parties?
He lives in Newcastle.
Newcastle, mate. So we're coming down. We're going to be at the doing our gaming event for the Love of Wrestling at the end of April. So
yeah. Party.
Indeed. And as you can hear under that clown, we're also delighted to be joined by the leader of the Billy Club, Billy Norton. How does he even Billy?
The leader of the party.
How have you been since we last spoke?
I'm good, man. I'm perfect. I'm loving life.
Yeah.
Riding the roller coaster, seeing how it's going. Yeah. Not at a dead end yet, so let's go.
So last time you spoke, you were about to wrestle in a Losers Leave Town match. Yeah, Wrestle Island against Mr. Williams. Tell us about.
Still here.
That's now what happened in that match, and what have you been up to since?
Well, man, since then, seems like straight away, both another one turn feud. Susan Double Williams, Pitbull.
Yeah.
I've been working Pitbull ever since the last show with Williams and managed to roll goes the last show. We got out the kendos. Seeing what's happening. So yeah, it's gonna be a fun one.
Yeah, it'll make sense if you did a no disqualification or something like that at the next Wrestle Island show.
I'm down, man, I'm pushing it.
Yeah, and there'll be a new direction for your character, I think. Going a bit more hardcore.
I'm down.
And hopefully you'll be, because you're currently injured at the moment, aren't you? So
yeah, broke my toe, man, I'm fuming. Went down with a previous guest of yours, I believe, Dino Mark. I was wrestling with him.
Yeah, wow.
And, I just went down training to see what it's like. Thought I'd train with Dean. Boys, I've seen his stuff online on Facebook, on Twitter. Thought that looks absolutely boss. So I went down, joined in a bit. And it was actually me and Dean, we were shoot wrestling.
Yeah.
Doing a bit of shoot. And at some point during the beginning of the end, I broke my toe, got out the ring, didn't even realise. Went, got home, the next day. My toe was purple, so
shit.
What was worse, that or creating a Skype account that you didn't need?
Oh, I don't even think that's I just spent 10 minutes and I'm absolutely fuming. Just spent 10 bloody minutes making a Skype account for them to say, oh, we're doing our Facebook call. What the actual heck?
I think we've done the last two interviews on Facebook, haven't we?
Did we? I thought it was Skype.
I can't remember. have you had any, what have been your wrestling highlights since April? Have you won any championships? Have you been in any feuds outside Wrestle Island? Or?
Really, my highlight's got to be. I don't know, probably beating Pitbull about four times.
It's really, really, really fun feud so far, you and Pitbull. You're so
polarized. It's exciting, man. I'm loving it because it's. The whole storyline started because he was undefeated, and now he can't beat me.
Yes.
He can beat every big dude on the roster, but he can't beat the little boy that we know him.
Yeah, I can't wait for the next show.
Gonna do awesome, man.
Mark, have you got any questions for Pete? Mark, have you got any questions for Dave?
Don't get my name wrong, man.
No, I'm happy just to jump straight into this because I'm really excited about what. I've actually been quite excited about this chat for a while.
Yeah.
Since you brought it up, Chris. I'm a big NXT fan, and the concept, when you first told me, I wasn't quite sure what you meant. I thought you meant, who do you want to see come up? And then I was still racking my brain thinking, oh man, I need to pick 10 of the current, I haven't seen it in 3 weeks, shit, I need to go back and watch everything. And then eventually got around to the fact I understood that you actually meant, who's your top 10 who've been promoted, so to speak.
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah, I had a lot of fun coming up with that list on Friday at work.
Yeah, so what we did, we each picked our favourite 10 NXT call-ups, and then I gave number 1 10 points, number 10 1 point. You can figure out the rest. And then we combined our lists, and this is our top 10 NXT call-ups. So if we go straight into it. So in at number 10 is the current SmackDown Women's Champion, Asuka.
Yeah, absolutely love her. Absolutely love her.
Yeah.
Can't say anything more than that right now, but I absolutely love her. I think she's absolutely incredible. I've loved her ever since her debut. I didn't know her beforehand, I won't lie. I haven't really been a Japanese watcher of wrestling for quite a long time now, to be honest. I think when I moved house into the city that I currently live in, which is nearly 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I didn't purposely stop watching, but I stopped buying tapes in and stuff like that because I was still tape trading.
Yeah.
Like up to 15 years ago.
Well, 15 years ago, man. Wow.
No, I still wasn't sort of net savvy, if you like. I wasn't downloading anything, so I was still getting taped and copied DVDs. And
I was free.
Excellent. I did really. I kind of lost touch a bit with what was going on in Japan and when the Dragon Gate and the no shows over here. In fact, the last thing I did, by the import shows over here, was when I was over in Japan in 2006. I went and watched Osaka Pro, and that was the kind of like almost like the accidental end of my being up to date with things. So when she came on the scene, along with somebody else who might be in this list, it was just a massive breath of fresh air and just like almost like a revelation, if you like. It was cool. Big fan.
See, 15 years ago, I was a big fan of SpongeBob.
Nothing wrong with that.
I was gonna bring that one off.
Yeah, I'm similar with people in Japan. If somebody says it's been an amazing match, I'll watch it. But I want to be more of a follower, but it's hard. There's so much wrestling.
I do.
To watch,
it's difficult to get. I mean, even with, dare I say, British or American companies, it's an investment just to get into to know where to start from.
Yeah.
If you like, so to get to invest in characters and storylines is hard enough. Then to adapt to a language and style that you've been out of touch with for such a long time is difficult again.
Yeah.
And it's really, really in depth, and you hear a lot of people chatting about it, and some of my good mates are chatting quite a lot in depth about, like, New Japan, for example. And then you just nod along a lot of the time. But yeah, it sounds bloody awesome, whatever you're talking about. It sounds great.
Yeah.
But I haven't had a chance. Haven't had a chance.
Yeah, so Oscar moved to the main roster in September 2007 after spending 2 years in NXT, where she won the NXT Women's Champion and held it for 510 days. She won the Female Competitor of the Year 16 and 17 and the overall NXT Competitor of the Year in 2017. And probably her biggest achievement on the main roster so far is that she won the inaugural Women's Royal Rumble. And then...
Well, she's a champion, to be fair. Moment as well.
Yeah, I still think she'll be remembered more for winning the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, and then Charlotte ended her 914-day undefeated streak at WrestleMania, which I'm still a bit surprised about to this day. But...
I've got a lot to say about this one, I'm sorry.
Surprises make money.
It felt a bit throwaway for me, that one, you know. It felt a bit kind of talk and gesture rather than anything else at that defeat.
Yeah.
I don't think it was like wasn't really prepared. It was kind of like, well, I really enjoy Charlotte as a wrestler. I really do. And it just kind of felt too quickly played out, if you know what I mean. It wasn't really an investment in it, which is a bit of a shame, because I think we'll probably get into this with nearly every character we talk about, but she's one of the ones who they haven't completely destroyed since she'd been called up. There's a handful that they've done something with her, they're doing something with her, that they're teasing something with at the very least.
Yeah.
And I'm on about modern call-ups, not on about, you know, sort of first season of NXT or anything. I'm on about as of recent years. And she's somebody who I really enjoy watching, and I think that she's still got a lot to offer. And they haven't wasted her yet.
No.
Which I really like. That's what I like about her. And there's a lot of, I think she's unfortunate at the moment in her current position, because there's so much hype on the other title.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a bit unfortunate that, you know, the main eyes, if you like, are on the two competitors for the other belt. So she's just kind of, she's third wheel at the moment. But
yeah, I'm gutted for her that Raw robbed the two competitors. She's the one she's left with Mandy Rose.
She's just unlucky with it. She'll get there.
So Bailey, what are your thoughts on it, Oscar?
You see, I wasn't that big of a Japanese wrestling fan at all.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciate it. I watch it. Someone goes, let's ever watch this. I'll watch it. But I've never been into the Japanese scene.
No.
And I'm more into the old school, like my water sport, my that type of wrestling. So,
cool.
Oscar, I didn't see much of until he went to WWE. And when I went to see her in WWE, I was thinking, oh, she's good. This is old school. This is long runs. This is undefeated for an actual period of time, not just a month. And I'm like, oh my god, who's going to be here?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't do the usual NXT thing where you come in, have a dart, lose your first match, and then, like they did with O'Reilly, Bobby Fish. then,
yeah. I know it's not the same amount of time, but it reminded me of Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah.
The long run champion, everyone remembers his name.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she deserves number 10. She wasn't on my personal number 10, but that's low key because I forgot.
It's very much the way that they've kind of tread her and a couple of other people that we'll get to. A bit like an early 90s, late 80s, early 90s IC title run, if that makes sense.
Definitely.
Not, you know, the top tier just yet. They're up there, but they're not quite there. They've got their investment in other people, but they're keeping them there or thereabouts. I think they'll do something with her, I really do. I think they've got plans for her.
Yeah,
I don't know what, but I think they do.
I'm hoping they merge the divisions. I think they have one. If they have one title at the top, I think they have an amazing division. They maybe introduce a mid card title. I think they've got the main events. They've got another mid card, and they've got a mid card, and they've got jobbers and tag teams.
They've filled out that. So, and the thing is now with that women's division, you can look at that card and, which is good. This is a really, really positive point I'm about to say as well. You can look at that sort of like division, and now you can formulate what is your top tier, your middle tier, like you can with every other division, which says that it's there now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not just like a thing. It's there now. It's an actual proper division. And you're right. I think they should just I've always been a fan for just keeping one belt anywhere. I mean, regardless of whether it's the men's or the women's, just I don't like the idea of having a world title and then a universal title. It's just nonsense.
Yeah.
So yeah, one for each works for me, and then maybe an IC title, you know, like a mid card title.
Well, Maria Kanellis said to bring back the Divas title as a mid card title.
there's too many connotations with that title.
I don't agree with that.
Well, they could bring in either like a women's television championship or a women's network championship, so it would just be...
So even a women's IC, whatever you want to call it, but something which, you know, I think it would be fair rather than have, because there's a lot of talent on that roster that... I know we're drifting off territory-wise here, sorry. But there's a lot of you can tell they just need to do something with it and keep it interesting, because it can't... The problem that they've got is they've got two main titles. You've got about four or five women who are at the moment you can justify as being in the title picture,
yeah.
then you've got a whole host of women who are probably sort of mid-card, upper mid-card kind of level, if you like, in terms of popularity and, you know, how much fuss they've made over them and how much they've invested into them. Mm-hmm. But they're kind of, they're drifting a bit, not really doing too much. So they just forge tag teams, for example, you know. So I reckon, you know, Bayley with an IC title belt would be perfect for me, like the equivalent of an IC. She screams IC title, like, and then clawing her way back to main event, if you like. At the moment, she's in a tag team, which on paper is great, the feud's great, but really, what's it leading to?
No, definitely. I think they just they wanted to get some big names in as the first tag team champions.
Completely.
Yeah. Right, so
okay,
we're
what was you talking about?
I was like, okay, so where are we? Number 10, Oscar, yeah?
Yeah, that's on track.
Okay, so at number 9, we have the 5 Feet of Fury, Alexa Bliss. So she accomplished little to nothing in NXT. Were you surprised at the impact she's made on the main roster?
I don't know if this is still the same, but the only woman to get the Raw and SmackDown championships. The only woman to have both. I'm not sure if that's still right.
No, Charlotte's had both. I think she was the first to hold both.
And Charlotte had both?
Yeah.
Man, everything's not going my way today. Yeah, Alexa Bliss. She was the first one, there we go, I'll say that. She was the first one to hold both the Raw and Women's Championships. And you can't say she's not had an absolutely amazing, was it 2 years on the road?
Yeah.
With the main roster.
Yeah, 2016, she got promoted.
Yeah. Even though she's not doing much at the moment, she's still on TV. More than a lot of the women. Still on TV every week.
Yeah, she's the host of WrestleMania this year, I think. Is that still the plan? I've not watched Raw this week. So.
But I think that's got a lot of trust in her then. If she's the host, that's a lot of trust. That's saying, we don't have a match for you, but we still want you on the show.
Yeah, I think she's still suffering with a concussion at the moment, so... So they just gave her a short spell in the Rumble. I think that's her only match she's had this year, isn't it? Maybe, I'm thinking of the top of my head.
Yeah. I have not seen anything else since.
No. I completely missed her in NXT. I wasn't aware of her in NXT. Like, I think I had a bit of a lull during that spell. But I've been nothing but, you know,
I don't remember having a match in NXT. She was the manager of Blake and Murphy.
Is that who she was? Yeah, see, I couldn't stand them at the tag team.
No.
I was not a fan of them at all. I didn't understand the tag team.
No.
As singles, brilliant. But as a tag team, I didn't get them. I didn't understand why they were coming out to the music they were coming out to, but not looking. They just didn't work for me as a tag team. But that's probably why I wasn't aware of it. But since she's been in the main roster, I think she's been class, like absolutely class.
Yeah, I've got a list of accomplishments. Yes. All right, so she debuted on the SmackDown brand, eventually becoming Women's Champion, and she's the first competitor to hold the titles twice. Transferred to Raw, she won the Raw's Women's Championship later that month, becoming the first woman to win both brands' titles in February. And then in February 2018, she won the first ever Women's Elimination Chamber match. She won Money in the Bank in 2018 and cashed in a contract later that night to be with the third women's title and becoming a 5-time overall champion.
Did she do much before NXT, out of curiosity? Was she on the indie scene much, or?
She was a gymnast. I think she
was. She? Yeah, I think don't she
believe brought, so. No, she's a cheerleader. She got brought in.
So she's completely sort of fully developed WWE.
I think so. Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Well, that's really, really amazing to be fair, like, because her crack at her mic skills, how she performs in the ring, her general look, her attitude, everything, she's got it, like, she's got the lot.
Yeah, she's one of them. She's
spot on.
Yeah, she's one of them girls I hope they never turn face, was a bitch persona. Nah, it's just
they
amazing.
They just need to keep her as an absolute bitch, because she's
brilliant. Alright, so... Yeah, so in at number 8, perhaps the best main roster debut, smashing John Cena, beating him clean at Elimination Chamber in 2015, while still being the NXT champion, was Kevin Owens.
Oh, you've brought back so many memories there. I completely forgot about that until you just mentioned it. How good was that?
Yeah.
He's so good.
That he's that high up on the list, isn't he? Because of his beginning feuds. his original miss when he first came on.
Yeah.
Obviously smacking Cena, beating Cena, what an accomplishment. He then obviously went on to do that storyline with Trips, where he won the Universal title.
He didn't win it, he got given
it. Still on a piece of paper, still says Universal Champion.
Yeah, definitely.
So, he's class. And he's again somebody who I knew little bits of in his indie run. Was aware of who he was, but I wasn't, I didn't really watch much American indie stuff while he was bouncing about.
Yeah, I heard this buzz about this guy called Kevin Steen. I was like, oh, I need to
see him. I was aware of his name, much like a few others that were, have made the transition. But man, he's so good. And I think there's only realistically been one thing I was a bit gutted about since his time in the main roster.
Yeah.
I think that weird feud that he had with was it with Strowman? I think it was
Strowman
beat him pretty much straight away, and it was kind of like, well, what's been the point of this build up until through this match then?
Just every week he'd be running away from him and hiding in toilets and stuff.
Absolutely. I thought we were going to get more in the actual match itself, but it was, the match itself was a bit of a letdown, from what I remember.
I think it's pretty much a squash.
Well, that was a bit pointless. Why not do something more interesting with what they have there? They kind of ended it a bit early just with a really, really quick finish. But other than that, I mean, that's literally the only negative thing I can think of, and that was a booking decision rather than him being.
I think they could have.
It's been great. Everything he's been involved with has been brilliant.
I think they could have done a bit more of the Festival of Friendship, the feud afterwards.
Yeah, I'd agree. That and his also his ally power thing with Sami Zayn afterwards as well. I thought that could have gone on for longer as well. I thought. He played a blinder as the tag team partner, if you like, in both those things. The turns were good.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But I thought, they could have gone for longer. I agree.
Yeah, since debuting on the main roster in May 2015, he has since held the Universal Championship once, the Intercontinental Championship twice, and the US title three times. So, I was convinced he was a tag team champion, but it's not. He hasn't. I had images of him and Jericho holding the tag titles, possibly. But no.
I think they went for it, but I don't think they ever won it.
No, definitely. Yeah. Right, so number seven, I've done a bit of a cheat, so I've combined Xavier Woods and Big E.
You threw me with that one.
Well, the main roster run's been so intertwined, I found it hard to separate them. So I think Xavier Woods could have easily been someone in the likes of an Adam Rose or a Noah Jose when he first came onto the scene. And Big E could have became a generic big man route before they were thrown together with Kofi in 2014. So, but the list of accomplishments over the last 4 years speak for themselves. A 5-time tag team champions, longest reigning tag team champions in history. So, yeah.
Yeah, but you're forgetting about... Would have had Big E on the list anyway, just forgetting about his Intercontinental run.
Yeah.
As Intercontinental Champion, and I love that feud.
I love
Big E as Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, I did as well.
Yeah, same here.
I'm just a massive fan of Big E.
I think he's... I'm not going to sort of shit on the stable he's in or anything like that, but I think he's the best part of it.
Yeah,
by a
definitely.
Country mile, to be honest. And I think the whole push with the whole coffee thing I find interesting. I mean, fair enough, but I would 100% have given that to Big E, personally. if you're going to pick somebody out of that group to for whatever reason, to go for this kind of push. I suppose they've gone for the underdog thing, so it makes sense that it's coffee, actually. But I just want to see Big E get another big run, if I really do.
Yeah, I think the pick of the bunch is Big E. He clearly has more to offer on the single scene.
Did you see that thing he tweeted recently as well?
I did.
It was a bit of a shoot tweet about being wasted talent and stuff.
I saw the video we did where he's basically calling WWE racist. Get referring to people like us, people like us.
That's right.
So I think
that's an interesting one. You think the Is that Bruce Pritchard's hands at work there since he started, like just writing some proper controversial shit?
I'm loving the shoot interviews they're doing at the moment.
I love
across,
it.
Across the whole.
Yeah, I think it's great. Why not?
Well, they're worked shoot interviews. I'm sure they're getting permission to do all these
things. We're assuming that.
Number six is a three-time IWPG heavyweight champion, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Love him. I'll hold back because I could rant for another half an hour. I won't. He's my favourite.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. Okay. He's my favourite. And, and he's been wasted.
Well, that's one of them, my question in a minute after. Billy, you're fit.
I don't believe he's been wasted because I'm not going to lie, if, even if I had a 10-year run on the WWE, if I won the United States and the Royal Rumble, I'd be a happy man for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
I get it. It's just, I just feel like I don't know. I think there's a lot more to be had from him, and I just think it's just, I don't know. I want more.
Yeah.
and I think the completely, for whatever reason, made his theme tune worse. For, I don't know why they put that silly guitar bit in at the beginning. I don't know. You lost the impact.
It's a heel now, isn't it? So.
That's how trivial I am. That's how trivial and pathetic I am.
Well, they don't want you to sing along with it anymore because it's a heel. So
of course they don't. They turn you off as soon as they show a visual of somebody plugging a jack leader or a guitar amp.
Yeah.
And put a bit of distortion on. But they've lost that impact for me from the beginning of it. But yeah, that's what I mean, I suppose. They don't need to make him the silly evil foreigner. And I think that's what I mean by being wasted. They just go down a very lazy route with them. I think there's a lot they can do with how interesting his character can be, and they're not really going with it. He's an evil foreigner. play on the sex appeal. Play on his weird libido side of things. Mm. Absolutely, because he's really good at it. He's really good at it, you know. And I suppose by them doing that, it kind of makes me worry about things in the future, how they might treat Velveteen when he gets the call, for example. Are they going to dumb down his sex appeal thing?
Yeah.
And are they just going to go down a bit of a comedy route or something with him? It's difficult. I appreciate he's got accomplishments. I get that. I'm more in about what I personally get from him as a character. I feel like it's a bit like they've toned him down a bit.
Yeah, I think it would have been so easy for him to have a series of dream matches of AJ Styles and then possibly the hot potato of the World Championship throughout most of 2018. That would have been so easy and everyone would have loved it. Rather than getting kicked in the dick every match.
I know, that's what I mean. Like, just there's a lot more they could do with the psychological elements of him. Mm. Almost kind of, you know, like slight shock value fact, a bit like early Goldust, for example. Like, what's he thinking? People don't really know. It's a bit intriguing. It's a bit different.
Yeah.
People make their own, you know, assumptions of it. But he uses it completely to his advantage and completely baffles his opponents. So I love that element of it that they don't tend to use.
Yeah, I think at 38, it's a perfect age for a main eventer. So they should be pushing him to the moon at least for the next year or two before the clock seems to run down on his time.
So. They maybe just don't see it, you know. Maybe they just don't. He's not in the plans, which is fair. That's fair enough. If that's the case. I love him though.
I love him. Yeah.
Were you guys aware of him beforehand? Sorry, I know. Maybe you were saying you weren't really much of a Japanese wrestling watcher as such beforehand.
But I did hear of Nakamura.
Yeah. Okay.
I did hear of Nakamura. I wasn't much of a fan. I did. If you pointed a few pictures on which was Nakamura, I wouldn't have a clue.
I wouldn't have in terms of Japan prior to NXT. I was only first aware of him in NXT, and I had a mini 2-inch tall sort of these little bobblehead things you can get. These Japanese. Can you remember those old Corinthian football player figurines that used to be out to get that had a massive head?
Yeah.
Where there was a big selection of Japanese ones of those as well, and it's a huge thing over Japan. And like mini big heads or something. And there's one of Nakamura, but he's got short hair with bleach highlights in it and stuff. And I had no idea it was him.
Yeah.
Until I saw the name on it recently, and I was like, no way. I had no concept at all that he looked different.
No, the first match I saw him in was there's AJ versus Nakamura at Is it 12? Wrestle Kingdom 12? I got told to watch it. I think it was 12.
Okay.
So I yeah. 11 or 12, I can't remember which one it was. So.
I've never watched any of his Japanese stuff. I've never watched any of it. I'm ashamed to say. I've literally watched them from NXT onwards. And I was sold straight away.
Yeah, it was both their last match in New Japan, I'm sure it was, before they both signed with WWE.
Okay.
I want to say that. So I can't remember if it was 10 or 11, but I got told to watch it. So I watched it, and it was brilliant.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
Right, then another New Japan legend. So we've got Finn Balor in at number 5. So, but I will say, before we go into the top 5, I have got fun facts from each wrestler from now on. So...
Fun facts!
Which I'll do at the end of each discussion. So, Balor became the first wrestler in WWE history to win the world title at his first pay-per-view, as well as the quickest wrestler to win a world title at 27 days following his main roster debut, and become the inaugural Universal Champion at SummerSlam 2016. And he also had a recent run with the IC title, which wasn't that impressive. But so, what are some of your favourite memories of Finn Balor, Billy?
Man, Finn. I love the demon aspect of Finn.
Yeah, definitely.
Not even much anymore, but I used to absolutely love the demon. Because at first, I didn't get it. I wanted to be, I was like, wait, what? He puts on face paint and then all of a sudden he's a badass?
I think he should have a completely different moveset when he's a demon. That'll make no sense.
I thought they were going to go down the route where it's this demon comes out, but Finn doesn't know of the demon, if you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Finn's like confused when people mention the demon, he doesn't know what's happening.
But yeah, he's blacked out or something. Yeah, I completely agree.
When he gets angry or annoyed, then the demon comes out.
Like a Hulk.
Yeah, like the Hulk. And you don't want to see me when I'm angry. That's the thing. I thought they should have gone down with it when I first saw this whole demon thing, because like, he doesn't know about it.
Yeah, that would have been great. I just don't get why he wrestles exactly the same if he's got a bit of paint on him.
Yeah, I thought they would have done it, and then he wrestles like, he still wrestles the amazing style he does, but he's more of an absolute swat and just kicks the shit.
Yeah.
And it will absolutely kick anybody's ass.
Yeah, Mark, what are your some favourites?
I share exactly the same sentiments. I like him as a, I think he's probably the nicest person on the roster, if that makes sense, in terms of his general sort of approach to fans and life and blah blah blah, etc. etc. I think he seems like a top lad.
I'd love to see him as a heel, because his heel work in New Japan looked amazing. I'd love to just see.
This is the interesting thing. Like I think I like the demon element. Like, I really do. I think the problem that they've got with the demon element is that I believe the demon's unbeaten.
Yes. Yeah.
So, anytime he appears, it's pretty much a guarantee that he's going to win. So, that's why they can't really do it very often, or else he'd just be undefeated quite a lot.
He sometimes uses confusing moments, because he needed the demon to beat Baron Corbin, but he didn't use it for his world title match against Brock Lesnar.
This is it. This is what doesn't make sense. I suppose they're right. That's what doesn't make sense. It's like, he picks and chooses... or it's picked and choosed as to when he uses the demon thing, and it doesn't really make any sense anymore. So either scrap it all together, or make it make sense.
Yeah.
Like you say, like Billy was saying, play on the fact that he blacks out or something. He's got no memory. He doesn't have a clue. Maybe when he's the demon, he could do something proper dastardly, like, you know, choke Vince McMahon with a cable tie. So I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, he does something and then he doesn't have a clue about what's happening.
I'll be good if he's a proper heel when he's demon, but he's face when he's not demon.
Well, that could be really interesting. Like, a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde thing going on.
Yeah.
But like, maybe, you know, they play through that whole thing and everybody feels sorry for him. And they think that, you know, he doesn't know what's happening, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't understand. He's obviously got psychological problems. And then it maybe turns out that he's actually a heel all along and he knows exactly what he's doing. I don't know. There's so much they could do with it.
Yeah, definitely.
But it just seems to be like, oh, just you can be a heel when we're in Dubai, or you can be the demon when we're in Australia to get the crowd pop, and that's pretty much what it is, isn't it? Like, it's just.
I'd love it if they put him, AJ, in the bar, just in a heel faction. I think that would be amazing.
At
the bar.
At least introduce them to each other. At least have that kind of face to face where everybody's like, "Ah, man, shit's going to go down." Do you know what I mean? And like tease it for a while.
Yeah.
Like, you know, completely tease the idea, but they haven't really even done that properly. Like, they haven't given us any indication that it could be something that they even look at. I think, were they face-to-face in the Rumble or something for 10 seconds, and that's literally all we've ever had, or something along those lines?
They had a match. They had a match late last year. He replaced. Do you remember the whole company had stomach bugs?
All right. Okay. Was it a throwaway kind of
AJ Styles got. They were on a tour in South America. And he got flew in to take his place. I can't remember who he was meant to be against.
So it wasn't anything of note as such then.
It's a brilliant match if you go back and watch it.
Oh, I bet it is. I bet it's absolutely brilliant. I think, yeah, man, you bang on. It would be absolutely class to sort of, like, see some kind of, like, face showdown, you know, like some sort of face down where and all the fans are in it and everybody knows what's going on, but nothing's said if you build that until one of them loses the temper and says, I'm the true leader, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then let them go on a devastating run as a faction. That would be absolutely mint. Love it.
Yeah, because they kind of Oh, sorry.
I'm trying to Google it now. I'm trying to find out. It was at TLC.
TLC.
At half ago. He replaced Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that was when it was meant to be Pumpkin Balor, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was meant to be Pumpkin Balor versus Sister Abigail Bray Wyatt. So we never got to see Pumpkin Balor. So. Yeah, but it was an amazing match. So. But, they kind of teased a club reunion backstage a couple of years ago. They had AJ Styles in the club trying to sweet him backstage, and then he just carried on walking.
That's what I mean. It's like there's the occasional, you know, little throwaway kind of comment without any meaning, more like just a sort of, you know, for the sake of doing it, but I'd love them to elongate that, stretch it out over weeks and weeks and weeks until it came to a head.
My fun fact for Finn Balor is that he's an avid collector of Lego.
That's how the whole storyline could start. He could be missing one Lego piece and boom, demon.
Right, so our number four, some might say, she's probably a bit low, so it's the man, Becky Lynch. So
yeah, I think number four is a good spot because everyone be like, oh, they should be number one, but that's only because of the hype at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't make my list, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that's why she's in number four. I think she was number three on both mine and Billy's list.
Yeah.
Just
didn't make mine. Like, I like it, don't get me wrong. I think the hype thing at the moment, it's just something that's like, it's momentary. I can't help but believe that. And, you know, I hope it's not for her sake, but I think I don't know how much legs it's got. So it's difficult to know because I've always seen her as a kind of an IC spot, I suppose. Mm. Nothing wrong with that, of course. But I think, I don't know, I think, you know what it is? I don't even think it's her. I think what it is the bandwagon jumped on and then it got a bit tiresome. And it's.
Well, it was a simple story until then they started adding the McMahons into it and Charlotte into it.
Yeah.
Everyone just wanted to see Ronda versus Becky. That's it.
I think all of her promos are very, I'm shouting at you as the man. And it got a bit samey for me.
Mm.
A bit quickly. I think she's got a lot more to give, but I think, again, they've found something which has been working. And then they've not dared to try and develop on it. They've just kept the same rhetoric.
Yeah.
It's working for, I mean, you know, it's working for a lot of people out there. So absolutely fair enough. It's obviously working though. Can't criticise them for that. It's just that for me personally, I don't know. It's just everybody else have put before in that top 10. That's all it is.
Yeah.
That's who it comes out. It's number 11.
Right. Yeah. So following arrival on the WWE main roster in July 15, she became the inaugural SmackDown Women's Champion at Backlash 2016, and she's held the title twice as of March 19. Yeah, and she also won the 2019 Women's Royal Rumble when she replaced Lana late on. And it was announced this week that she will be main eventing WrestleMania 35 in a match against Rousey and Charlotte.
Would they have done that if Rousey wasn't part of it?
I don't believe so.
No,
I don't either.
I love Ronda. I think Ronda's a draw.
I agree fully.
I agree fully. Obviously, they have the whole women's revolution and stuff like that, but I believe Ronda's actually stepped it up.
No, of course she did. No two ways about it.
When it comes to the title, I'm like, who's taking that offer? When I think about it, I'm like...
Well, nobody who's currently there, and I think the thing is for me, and I think I've mentioned this on at least two previous pods that we've done, Chris.
Yeah.
Is that I'm dying for them to promote Bezler.
Definitely, yeah.
The idea of teasing... For me, the ideal thing to do with that is to tease the UFC four horsewomen concept that people are, you know... have cottoned on to.
Yeah.
Go down that route for a bit. Hopefully Rousey has the face, though. She is the face. At loggerheads with the McMahons still. I think this is the problem that's happened since the thing with Lynch happening. I think it's been great, don't get me wrong. But I think I'd have 100% wanted to keep Rousey as a face. Going at it with the McMahons, because she was the only one legitimately who could get away with doing it.
Yeah.
Because of the way she was brought in and things like that. It made sense because she was new to the scene. It worked if you're going to have that authority kind of route. And then the McMahons then to have sneakily hired Shayna.
Yeah.
So Shayna turns on her, and I think she's the only one who could legitimately pound for pound UFC-esque fighter, you know, legitimately take on Rousey, and it'd be believable in the ring because they're both absolutely brilliant. But I think Shayna is the better pro wrestler out of the two, but makes it look bloody good. If you've watched her in NXT over the last year, she's been absolutely mint. Like her trend, like, or her upward curve has been so good to watch.
Yeah, and I can't see this horse women thing happening anytime soon because Duke and Shafir are nowhere near the level of Rousey and Bayley at the moment.
Bring her up, make it look like they're friends, and then make Shayna turn on her and just absolutely smash her into smithereens. And then you've got an absolutely amazing, you know, feud of feuds, really.
Yeah,
you've got the whole friendship thing, you've got the whole legitimacy of the UFC thing, you've got the fact that they're both actually very, very good at what they do. and I think you're under a winner with that one, personally.
I believe that type of match, if you built it, like, could be an absolute, like, heart stopper. An absolute WrestleMania match marquee. Because if you could have done it, if you did it, type of way, Sting, Triple H, they could have had.
Which Sting?
The horse would have come down, help Shayna, and then out of nowhere, Bayley, Becky, Charlotte, come down, actually to save Ronda.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many good things you could do with it. The thing is, though, it's not that they're not doing anything wrong with Rousey at the moment. So that's just a bit of fantasy stuff. That's not like I hope they do this instead of. I think they've put Ronda in this position where she's untouchable, really, and she's riding this amazing wave at the moment. I think they've had to go down the route that they've gone with Becky. They've needed somebody fresh rather than just Charlotte all the time being the one who, you know. Charlotte, to be honest, until Rousey came along, Charlotte was the one that was used consistently in that position.
Yes.
While they were creating the women's division, and I think she's going to come back with an almighty force as well. I think there's a few of them that are on that level where they're just waiting for something to happen. I think if they got Shayna up and sort of proper mess with the program with Rousey on purpose, with Shayna fighting her, blah blah blah, then it would open up the women's division a bit more, I think, as well. It would strengthen it a bit more at that higher level, so it's not just the same two or three names.
Yeah. Do you want a fun fact about Becky though?
Fun facts.
So Becky performed stunts on a 2013 episode of Vikings.
No idea what Vikings is.
I watched the first three or four episodes and then.
Was it some kind of knockoff version of Game of Thrones or something, like a History Channel special?
It is. I think it is on the History Channel.
There you go.
That's why I don't know what it is.
So next up, we have Bastard Neville. Number three.
Our lad.
So he was promoted to the main roster in early 2015. Apparently he refused a Mighty Mouse gimmick, which saw him beat Langwish in the mid-card as a consequence, despite his string of highly impressive showings.
I'd love to know how true that is.
Yeah.
I think it's bollocks. I'd love to know how true it is, though. I've been fortunate enough to have a bit of crack with Park Neville, whatever you want to call him, mm-hmm. Ben, whatever you want to call him. Like years from donkeys ago, from when I used to, because he's a local lad from around here, obviously. I used to go to college and blah blah blah, and he was a regular for a local promotion called IWF, which was one of the long-standing promotions in Newcastle for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And was fortunate enough to see him develop his trade there. Then he did the whole UK scene in general, and you could just tell back then he was a bit special compared to the rest of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
No offence to the rest of the lads, but he just, at that time, he was just that next level, and now I think it's fair to say there's a lot of people on a similar level to him, but he just smashed it, and then he went to Japan, and I was lucky enough to see him again when he came over with the Dragon Gate tours, and then next thing you hear, he signed to NXT, and you're like, oh man, this is so good, and then he gets promoted. It's just been a really interesting ride for him, and then when he quit, I was genuinely absolutely gobsmacked about that. And absolutely fair play to him. Absolutely fair play to him. But I wasn't expecting it as a fan.
Well, I'd quit if I Enzo Amore beat me for the belt.
Well, but I know what you're saying, but I mean, at the same time, whether we like it or not, Enzo, he was the new mouthpiece, wasn't he? He just kind of come up from NXT after a really bloody, you know, fan-fueled kind of push, if you like, in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
I know. We don't like to admit things like that of people that we no longer like anymore. But he was huge at the time, and he basically the way that they got Enzo up there, I thought that was a weird one in itself because it wasn't quite working for him.
No.
But you could tell that they still were selling a lot of t-shirts because of the position he found himself in. So I think it's unfortunate that he was the one that went over, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a wrestler, I can't say, but I mean, do you not just sort of like swallow your pride a bit and crack on? And I'm saying that as somebody who loves Pac as well.
Yeah, I think because Enzo's got his reputation of being a bit of a knob backstage. So.
But at the same time, absolutely fair enough for him. He sat there quietly, he read the contract out, he mm-hmm. didn't engage with Twitter or online at all, he did it absolutely teetotal, to the point where nobody could say shit about him. And then the next thing you hear is that he's a free agent again, and it's been a joy. I got to see him again at Defiant recently, and it's just... It's great.
Yeah, I've loved this little run of Defiance.
Say, coming from an actual like wrestler's perspective, Vince is the man. Vince is the person you want to work for.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I kind of, yeah.
If Vince tells you to jump through hoops or dressed as a chicken, you jump through hoops dressed as a chicken.
That's it. That's the thing. So it's just that weird kind of scenario of like, applaud somebody who thinks that, you know, I don't want to be here, I want to do something else. Maybe that scenario was like literally just the tipping point to a lot of things that had been happening. Maybe that wasn't the reason, so to speak.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the case of he kind of thought, hang on a second, I've been promised X, Y, and Z, and now I've been given, you know, like 1, 2, and 3. It's, you know, it's not one. I don't know. Who knows? But
I always believe it's got to be something a bit more, because storyline wise, I know we always see it on pages and I have to do my head in when it's like, oh, he's quit because he's not getting pushed. I'm like, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
If you went to the company that you in WWE, I swear, if they said, we used to enter a moment, I'd be like, in 5 seconds or 10, I'll be with you.
Yeah, because the thing is with that, you've guaranteed yourself another action figure in the next series.
Yeah.
And everything else that goes with it, you know what I mean?
Guaranteed yourself not just publicity, you get WrestleMania, you get action figures, you get video games, you get money on the table for your family, you get everything.
If, yeah, use me for as many pre shows as you want, Vince. It's pretty much my, you know what I mean? Use me however you want.
Even if you're on a pre show, you're almost guaranteed to still get more views than you do on an indie show.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. It's household name, and I think it's he's done what he's done for whatever reason he's done it for. Hopefully, the door's still open for him. Hopefully, it was amicable enough.
Yeah,
I've got no idea. I mean, there wasn't any kind of online rants or interviews or I hate them or he's not worth this. You know what I mean?
Vince has proved in the past if he sees money and bring you back, he'll bring you back.
Well, that's exactly it. I think with maybe it might be fair to say that with Neville at the time, they just didn't really have anything for him, and I think that's a shame. But I mean, when you watched him perform, it was really, really fun to watch at the time when he was there, because he was 100 mile an hour. Everything was just so fun to watch. But then, I suppose in Vince's eyes, like, what else is there? What else can we do? I don't know. You could go into all sorts of psychology with it, couldn't you, really? But I'm a big fan. I'm a big, big fan of Neville, and I'm glad that I can at least get to see him wrestle again after a long stint of absence from the contract situation.
Yeah. Do you want a fun fact?
Got down a fun fact. Woo!
Yes. So along with Sasha Banks, Neville won the inaugural WWE Superstars Rocket League Tag Team Tournament, defeating Cesaro and Bayley in the semi-finals, and AJ Styles.
I got number three. Right there. That's the one.
AJ Styles and Charlotte in the final to win the titles. Okay. So number two, we have Seth Rollins.
Seth, man, was number one in mine. Seth is the Raw guy. Seth, in my opinion, is the man. Especially on Raw.
Yeah.
Seth is the face you walk to when you think he was the face of Raw. I know people would say Roman, but especially when Roman was gone, it was just Seth.
Yeah, when the Shields split up, you thought it was going to be Roman and Dean were going to be the stars of it, but it wasn't. It was Seth Rollins as the Artisac stood tall, had one of the greatest WrestleMania moments when he cashed in against Brock and Roman, and he had a stellar year as champ, I think. So it was only that horrible knee injury against Kane for some reason. But when he re-emerged, I think he's been one of the most company's most consistent performers over the last year, 18 months.
I think I fully agree with what you're saying. I think visually, yes, he is. I think, I don't know, is there a chance he's just a bit Marmite, where everybody appreciates it, he's good, but either you like him or you don't? Because I can't, I don't know. I can't warm to him. I can't. I don't know. I don't know what it is. In ring, he's absolutely. What's the word I'm trying to think of? He's flawless almost. Everything's so smooth and everything's just rolls so nicely to the next thing he does, and it looks like it's got impact. And I don't know. Maybe I want something different from your wrestlers, and I don't even know what that is. But
no.
I can't warm to him as a performer. He doesn't tick that box for me. I don't know why.
Yeah, he does seem to have a lot of...
got a default. I appreciate he's great. It's just the Shield in general's never really done anything for me. I think it's maybe, again, one of those things that, like, I appreciated when it first came, and then there was a lot of hype that went with it, and I was like, all right, cool, yeah, we'll check it out. And then the hype seemed to surpass what I was watching for me personally.
Yeah.
And then because of that, I didn't really like any of them. Like, it wasn't that I dislike any of them. I'm not like, oh, I hate Roman. None of that nonsense. I think I appreciate who they are and what they are, and I think they're good wrestlers. But none of them tick that superstar, megastar box for me at all. They really don't. I don't know why. It's just maybe it just didn't click. It just didn't click. That's all it was. I can appreciate that they're really good wrestlers, great performers, but they just don't tick the box for me.
Joel, a fun fact.
Fun fact.
So he made his film debut alongside Hollywood legends David Hasselhoff and Tara Reid in Sharknado: The Fourth Awakens.
No way!
Sharknado? He played a tech support called Lopez, I think.
Excellent. Talk some more positives about him, because I realise I've just kind of talked for 2 minutes about how much I don't like him, and it's a bit unfair.
Authority angle.
No!
I loved it, man, to you!
I don't know. I don't know what it was. Go and talk. Please talk some positives, because I feel like I don't want to put a downer on the number two in our combined list.
With that authority angle, was the heel? Was it an actual heel? Not like some of the heels you see nowadays, where they come out and they get cheered for being a heel. Yeah.
Jay and Jay Sakura were the best thing about that year, I think.
That's what I mean. The man, he could get laughed at. Like, in my opinion, whenever I've been a heel, the best way to be a heel is to get laughed at.
Yeah.
People laugh at you. You get annoyed, and they find it more funny to laugh at you, then the crowd goes with it so easily, and the crowd absolutely despise you. Even when he did that thing with Edge and he had his neck to the canvas,
yeah,
he was like, "Do you want me to break it?"
Yeah, that was horrible.
People were genuinely booing him. They weren't cheering him, like, "Come on, do it!" Like most people do nowadays.
Did you watch much of his NXT run at all?
I saw a third bit of it, I didn't see much of it. Obviously, I saw the whole when he beat Jinder Mahal for the NXT title in the first place.
Right.
And when I saw that, I was thinking, oh, he's just another indie dude. He's not anything amazing. But then when he came up, I saw character.
Yeah.
I saw character, I saw ability with like the Shield at the beginning. I thought, I'm genuinely interested with this. I don't have a clue who they are, don't have a clue what's going on, but I'm genuinely interested. I still tune in.
I thought when they came in as a Shield, their whole debut thing as a Shield, the first few months, I was bang into it. I really, really enjoyed what I was seeing. I don't know. I think it just, as I say, just, you know, it didn't maybe just gel for me. Like, after that fact, I think it just, you know, it washed away a little bit for me, I think. That's all it was. But I appreciate what you're saying, though, because I'd be stupid to say that the authority run wasn't good. Of course it was good, it definitely was. Maybe he just didn't connect with it. I just didn't connect with it as much as others. Maybe it's his character or him as a person, I don't know. Yeah. It's weird what makes you a wrestling fan and what you like compared to other people. And when you look at things and you think, I know I should like that. There's no reason why for me not to. It's weird. It's just, I can't put my finger on it. And it's not like I'm not liking him because it's a trend to not like somebody, or I don't like them because it's a trend to like them. It's just this song, I can't even put my finger on it as to what it is. It's the same with a couple of other wrestlers. It's like Randy Orton's another one.
Yeah.
I don't get the hype at all. I appreciate who they are, a wrestler, blah blah blah. I get it, but I don't understand the mega kind of fan base that he has. I don't quite understand it. I don't quite get it. But that's just, you know, who am I to talk? My favourite year in wrestling was 1993, 1994, so, you know, Jesus.
But back in them days, you'd only have like a 5-6 year run in WWE, and then you'd be gone.
Five, six weeks in some cases. Yeah.
Was it Fry Ferguson got 1 week, I think, was it? And then he came back
Blasting Boogaloo. When Knuckleball Schwartz as Brooklyn, as Steve Lombardi's gimmick.
Yeah.
The Goon.
Oh, we're not here.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Even Nails was less than a year, ish. Mm. It's just, you know.
Should we go on to number one?
Yeah.
Before you go on a rant about 1993, I know you can talk for hours about that. Right, so I think in terms of affecting the WWE landscape on number one, nobody can hold a candle to her. It's Charlotte. So.
Oh, she's ridiculously good, isn't she?
Yeah. Right, so since making the step up to 2015, she's taken the company's women division to new heights, higher than many people ever thought was possible. She's currently a 7-time women's champion. She holds a record with Trish Stratus. She was the last woman to hold the Divas title. She was the first person to win the Raw's women's title. Yeah, Charlotte was the first to compete in the first ever women's last man standing match at Evolution. I don't know what else to say about her. She's just amazing. So, I do think she needs to move away from the wooing and the strutting like a dad.
I think it's the only thing I do want to see her do before she does move away fully, because I think she's moved a bit away from it, but
she seems to move away from it, and then she gets dragged back into it. So it's like,
but they've done the same stupid bloody thing that they did with Natty as well, by just making a remix version of the theme tune.
Yeah,
she's gonna be harpered with that for a while. So it's for me, I'm quite happy for her to wear the robe thing that she wears and all that glittering now, because she looks class when she comes out. She looks the part.
Yeah.
She looks like an ice queen, you know. She does have that look about her. The music's a bit bloody ridiculous, so it's like.
I like her theme tune. So I like the remix.
It's good, but I mean, in the sense of if you want to try and distance her from Rick, it doesn't really distance her from Rick, does it? I'd still love to see her like lose the plot in the middle of a ring and start elbowing her own tracksuit top. I'd love to see that. Like Rick used to do. But yeah, I was stuck in here. I think on your list, Chris, she made number 3. I think on Billy, she made number 2. And mine, she made number 4, but only just. She made number 4 in mine.
Yeah.
But it was a toss up between her and a couple of others. She's everything. She's a total package. She's what you want as a wrestler, regardless of gender or any of that. She's just.
I think she's
good in the ring. She's a very good wrestler. She's a very good mouthpiece. She looks the part. She's a great size, if you know what I mean. She's tall.
I think she's just under 6 foot, isn't she? I don't think she's quite 6 foot. But.
She's technically sound. She can chuck people about, and it looks legitimate. She's just great all around. She looks just spot on when you watch her wrestle.
And again, she's part of the first ever women WrestleMania main event. So
indeed.
That'd be amazing. Right, so my fun fact is that Flair finished was ranked 29 out of 50 in the Sports Illustrated Fittest Women Athletes of 2017.
Are you?
Fit as in a legitimately, you know, fitness.
Yeah.
not Geordie slang.
No.
This is Brian Aidenson telling you to listen to Broken But Glorious Podcast.
We did decide not to put Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose and Braun Strowman because they didn't have NXT careers. I know if you look on like Cultaholics and What Cultures lists, they do include them, but I didn't feel their run in NXT was worthy enough to be called a caller.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think like Braun Strowman was only ever a rosebud.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Dean Ambrose only appeared after S.H.I.E.L.D. appeared on the main roster.
Yeah.
Can I just mention someone I'm actually quite upset didn't make the list?
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt.
I was thinking of putting the Wyatt family as a whole on, because that was my favourite.
I loved Bray Wyatt. I still do love Bray Wyatt. He was WWE champion, man.
Yeah. He looks like he's got in great shape, hasn't he? I love his dreadlocks at the moment, in the pictures I've seen.
I just absolutely adored Bray Wyatt, especially when he came in, at least the whole first feud, Cena and WrestleMania.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 30 of all manias.
Yeah.
I think he gets a lot of unfair criticism these days. I think he's an absolute gem of a talent. I think he gets a lot of unfair criticism because a lot of people believe that his character's a bit stale and whatnot. And I think there's a lot they can do with
just,
it.
He's too great. Get rid of all the supernatural rubbish and just put him back to be the cult leader. That's all he needed to be.
Yeah. Start a new cult. What cult leaders do.
Think of a hobo. Work. Just a hobo or something.
Yeah, and actually recruit members to your cult. You never seem to do that. Everybody you recruited left within a week.
Yeah, but the problem is they kept going with established people. Fast track people from NXT to it, for example, and you know, that would work.
Yeah.
I mean, did you see the NXT tryouts in India where there's a guy who's legitimately 7'10"?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Whatever. You know what I mean? If he doesn't make an appearance at Mania just to say I'm here, then what's you need to shut shop, because yeah, they need to fast track people for people like Bray, because that would be the perfect call up. That's rather than dwindling about doing now on. You know, that weird sort of space between, do they go to 205 Live or do they go to a pre-show, or do they, for, which is what happens pretty much with every single call up at the moment.
Yeah.
I just think that it would be great if the likes of having a cult for like Bray is a good opportunity for people to move up to. You could do, I mean, Alistair Black would be a great person to link in with Bray.
You could put all of Sanity with him.
Exactly. You could
make it like a ten person faction. So.
I heard a great idea you could do with him, where you could turn him into like almost like a Deep South, almost like a preacher kind of role.
Yeah.
Where he's a bit more, you know, he's seen the light now, but really it's just a cover for a cult, that, a new cult that he's, you know, brilliant ideas for him. But it's just that, yeah, he's always on the peripheral at the moment ever since his injury, so it's a shame. Can't wait to see what they've got planned for him.
Right, so one last question before we go. So 10 NXT superstars have been called up in recent months. You've got Alistair Black, Ricochet, Gargano, Ciampa, most recently, and then you had Lacey Evans, Nikki Cross, Heavy Machinery, EC3, and Lars Sullivan. So if we did this list again next year, do you think any of them would appear on it?
Absolutely.
I adore EC3. I think he's going to be the future.
I hope he is. I really hope he is. I think I thought that about Bobby Roode as well, though, and I just think that...
That's such a waste. At his age, was he 41? Not to put him straight in, give him a main event run, at least.
They could have put him straight in a title picture. Yeah. I don't know why they didn't, but whatever. And I worry that it's become a bit of a trend. Like EC3, for example, you're absolutely bang on, Billy. He should be somebody, though, that transitions... Very silly. They could go in a bit of an IC thing, but the idea is that that's not good enough for him. He wants to be the main eventer, and they should play on that because he'd be absolutely brilliant at it. But he'll probably end up being in a tag team with Mae Young or something for a while. I don't know. Who knows? But I agree with you. I think he's one. I think Ciampa, if they do it properly, is another one.
I think Black, Ricochet, Gargano, and Ciampa, if they're not in next year's list. If we do it again,
they have to be.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that Lars Sullivan isn't.
I'm not sure what they're doing with him at the moment. So. You see, he found some racist tweets of his, and then he's disappeared.
Yeah, well, there was all the racist tweets, and then the on the forums, whenever he was posting that on, apparently, from the screenshots that have been passed around, stuff he was saying about some quite inappropriate things, shall we say, about Stephanie as well at one point, apparently.
So.
Who knows? Maybe the reason why he's not on there isn't because he's had a panic attack, and maybe because he's been told off for something he shouldn't have done. That's what the rumours are currently stating. But who knows? He might turn up and be the one to come in and... out of curiosity, was it announced what Cena's going to be doing at the Mania or nothing?
The rumour is Kurt Angle's going to squash Corbin and then call out a proper challenge, and then Cena's going to answer it.
You reckon?
That's the rumour I've heard.
Okay. Well, I was always... Okay, oh, fair enough. And I thought we were going to maybe see Sullivan come out and try and be that monster,
maybe.
And Cena destroys him in 10 seconds. That would be all right.
Before we go, do you want to promote your social media, Billy?
At the Billy Nolan. Check me out on Twitter. Check me out on Instagram. If you want to, check me out on Skype. Well, get on the ads. Get on that.
He loves Skype.
Love Skype.
He loves it.
Love Skype.
We'll have a Skype party.
Do you want to plug in?
Video chat, it gets weird.
Do you want to plug in Grapple Arcade?
As always. Grapple Arcade, or should I say, at Grapple Arcade on Twitter. As usual, we're running some pretty hefty competitions, free-to-enter competitions with loads of prizes at the moment. Got loads of live events coming up, which I mentioned on there. Our new YouTube nostalgia merchandise video nonsense called Hands Off the Merchandise is currently up and running and going all right.
I've really enjoyed it.
Some quite interesting bits and bobs. We've nearly completed the sticker book, and our next episode's about to launch in the next few days, which has got a guest appearance by Tom Campbell on there. Opening some stickers for us.
Friend of the show.
So we're going to be doing some bits and bobs like that over the next few weeks. Got a few more guests lined up to open some packets of 1992 WWF Merlin stickers.
Cool. So I'll put all of the links in the description below the show. So I've really enjoyed speaking to both. I'd love to have you both on again in the near future.
Indeed.